Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Hey there, Enjoyers. Welcome to Enjoy Church Online once again. I don't know about you, I am excited. I'm excited because I feel like the restrictions are beginning to ease and we're starting to step out into everything that God has got for us. So be encouraged, Enjoyers. Begin to lean into each other and let's get ready for all that God has got for us in the second half of 2020. I still believe 2020 is going to be an amazing year. We started 2020 as the best year we have ever had in our 21 years of Enjoy Church. And all of a sudden, it just seemed to go upside down. But I got a feeling in the shaking up, in the turning up, in the everything that's happened, we are finding new ways to reach people. We're finding new ways to outreach. We're finding new ways to connect and do relationship. And there's a level of enthusiasm that I got to tell you, I am pretty excited about. I was watching a movie this week. And in this movie, there was a gentleman who had been in jail. He'd been in jail for a number of years. And in the movie, he steps out from behind the prison walls on his day of release. He steps out and he looks up the wide open road that is before him. It made me think, when that happened, when I saw it happen on the screen, I've got to tell you, my imagination, just for a moment, it went a little bit crazy. It went into overdrive. I began to think, if I had been, and let's just go here together. Let's just think here together. Imagine with me, if you will. Imagine that we had done 5 years. We made a terrible decision 5 years earlier. We got caught. We ended up in prison for 5 years. Our day of release comes. We step out of prison for the very first day and we look up the wide open road that is before us. I want to ask you a question. What is it on that day that you are going to do? You've done 5 years separated from all the people you loved. You've done 5 years separated from all the things you love. And for the first time, you're stepping out into wide open spaces and you're able to choose what you're going to do. Friends, I want to ask you in a similar vein this morning, as we begin to step out of isolation, what is it that you are going to do? The great apostles, Peter and John, well, they knew exactly what they were to do when they were released from prison. And I figure the best thing we can do as we contemplate what we should be doing in this season is look to the scripture and get some encouragement today. So let's turn with me, if you will. Acts chapter 4 from verse 23 says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, one might argue that the opposite to a bold life would be a life of intimidation. Church, hear me well today. I want you to understand this, that there is nothing more in this season than the spirit of this world would want to do then fill you with intimidation. He wants to intimidate you. That is what he is about. The enemy is a liar and he's an intimidator. He is a bully. Because if you're intimidated, while the door might be open, wide open, you'll never step through it simply because you are intimidated. But a life of intimidation isn't for the believer. The life of intimidation isn't for you, for your marriage, for your family, for your business, for our church. This is not what we are called to. We are not called to intimidation. No, the enemy is a liar. He is going to try to intimidate you and he's going to try to intimidate us. He does this because this is a key component to his job description. When he's not robbing, killing, and destroying. What is the enemy doing? He's out there and he's about intimidating the people of God. Remember what Goliath did when he was running at David. Remember the scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 17, reading from verse 43. It says there, he said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." What is that about? What sort of talk is that? You know what that is? That is intimidation. The enemy is a bully, and he's always been about intimidating. He did it to David, and the truth is he's going to try and do it to you. But did it put David off? Not for a minute. Not for a moment was David put off. We know that David ran at the giant. He didn't step back. No, he ran at the giant. He put his faith in his God, and he hurled that stone and brought the giant down. He knew his victory was in the Lord. He knew that he would never win the victory as long as he sat back there with his brothers, but he ran forward to the battle. He came out of that place of fear, out of that place of being bullied. He came out of that place of being intimidated and ran at the giant. Now, this coronavirus, let me say this, it is just another giant. It's just another giant. There have always been giants. There will always be giants. This giant has come out against humanity. But you know what? I honestly believe in many ways it truly has come out against the church. But let me say this. The virus in itself isn't actually the giant. And you might be like, say what? Don't you know what's happening on planet Earth? I do know what's happening on planet Earth. And I'll say it again. The virus in itself isn't actually the giant. The giant is intimidation. The virus is its shadow. And that is why we are all fearful of the shadow, the virus. But the reality, what is behind the shadow, the substance of the shadow, is in actual fact intimidation. That's what this is all about. All of David's brothers and the fighting men of Israel, they went down there to fight the giant. But how many of you know they didn't fight the giant? Why? Because a giant came out and taunted David's brothers, taunted the soldiers of Israel. As a result, they were intimidated. When they were intimidated, fear came upon them. They didn't move. Every day the giant would come out and he would taunt, and no one would do anything. No one would step out. But guess what? We are not a people of fear, and we will not be intimidated, and we're going to step out into the fullness of all the life that God has got for us. So now that the social distancing rules are beginning to ease, what are we going to do? Are we going to remain under the shadow of the virus? Are we going to remain under the shadow of intimidation? Or are we going to say, well, we can see the door is ajar. We can see that the road is wide open. Are we going to stay and remain isolated? Or are we going to say, no, we will not be intimidated anymore, and begin to get up and step out and move on with our life in Christ? The thing I love about Peter and John, there's lots that I love about Peter and John, but the thing that I love in this passage of scripture is when they found their newfound freedom, they knew exactly what they had to do. When I say what they had to do, there's many things we can do, but not for them. There was something they had to do. And as we read the scripture, it is very clear when they found their newfound freedom, they went right back to the life that God had called them to. Right back to the life that God had called them to. The truth is, in this season, in this era, history would tell us and the Bible would tell us that many New Testament believers were found wanting during this time when the shadow of intimidation had fallen upon them through the threats and the intimidation of the Romans. At this particular point in time in history, many New Testament believers, many new Christians, they just fell away. They disappeared. They were nowhere to be seen. But not Peter and John. Peter and John, they weren't intimidated, not for a minute. When they were released from jail, they went right back to where they were taken from. They stepped right back in there. Here we go. This is what happened. Let's just look at scripture together. There's three things today that I want to pull out from scripture. When they were released, here we go. Point number one, they went back to their people. The first thing they did is went straight back to their people. Here we go. I love it, because the first thing they did wasn't to go to Bunnings. No, they didn't go to Bunnings. The first thing they did wasn't go to the Richmond Collingwood football game. No, that's not what they did. The first thing they did wasn't to go to family. It's like, don't go there, Shane. I just went there. It's too late. They didn't go to family first thing. That wasn't the first thing they did. The first thing they did wasn't to go and check out the family fishing business. No, all of these things are important. Absolutely. Absolutely important. No doubt about that. They are all important, but we see in Scripture that that wasn't the first thing that they did. In Acts chapter 4, reading from verse 23, it says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Maybe after that they went to Bunnings, maybe after that they went to the footy or went to the family or whatever. But the first thing they did was went back to their own people, the people of faith. That's where they went back to immediately. You know what I'm loving at the moment, just being really honest? I am loving finding my own people. Finding our own people. I am loving this season. I'm loving this space. I'm loving the opportunity to be able to step out of our house and actually go and meet with people. Meet with people from the church. Meet with people in small group. Meet with people wherever the case may be. I'm loving the opportunity to step out and begin to connect again. Friends, can I say to you, at this time, nothing will suffice true fellowship. There's nothing you can do in your life that is a substitute for true fellowship in this season. We need to understand that we are the body of Christ and we will always be strongest when we are together. We need each other. More than ever in this season, we need each other. We need true fellowship. We need to share communion together. We need to break bread. We need to have meals together. We need to have time together. We need true fellowship. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Now, maybe in this season, we had no choice. But now the restrictions are being eased, and now we have a choice again. We have a choice to step out and step back into what we should have always been doing. But it says here, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Let us encourage one another. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You don't need to be Einstein, a spiritual Einstein, to work out the day is approaching. The day of the Lord's return is approaching. We don't know how far it is, but we know this. We need encouragement. You need encouragement and I need encouragement. Iron sharpens iron. When brothers and sisters come together, we get sharper in the things of the Spirit when we come together. I tell you the truth, the spirit of intimidation will always be broken in the presence of faith-filled fellowship. You need it. I need it. We need it. What is the first thing you're going to do now social distancing restrictions are beginning to ease? Can I encourage you? We need fellowship. I want to encourage you to lean into all the spaces and places where you know your brothers and sisters are at that you might encourage each other and all the more in this season. The second thing they did when they got together, here we go. The second thing they did, they committed what they heard to God in prayer. They committed what they heard to God in prayer. So they came together, they began to talk, and as they talked, they realized, all right, these are the things that we need to speak into in prayer. We need to call upon the name of the Lord. We need to lift up our voices and pray together. Acts chapter 2, reading verse 24 says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. I don't know about you, I love it. I love it when we stand together, when we unite our hearts and our faith together, when we realize there are some challenges, there are some situations, there are some things, but we are not going to bow down to them. They will not intimidate us, but we will go to the one who can save us. We will go to the only one who can save us. His name is Jesus, and we will lift up our voice in prayer. The truth is, in this season, there is a whole lot of talk out there. You know it as well as I do. We're hearing a whole lot of doom. We're hearing a whole lot of gloom. We're hearing of disappointment and of forecasts that are depleting us from hope. So what should we do in this season? Sit in the dirt and complain? No. How many of you know it won't help? Friends, I want to encourage you, don't be sitting there talking about the situation, but stand up in faith, lift up your voices and speak to God. Speak into the situation in Jesus' name. Unite your faith together. I love it. Peter and John, they knew exactly what to do. Upon stepping out, they went and they found their people. When they found their people, they talked about the realities of where we find ourselves, and then they lifted up their voice in prayer together. They lifted up their voices in prayer. We are a people of faith. Prayer, we need to understand prayer needs to be in our mouth. Prayer needs to be in our hearts. Prayer needs to be on our lips. We need to be a praying people. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people, because you would think, well, what? Of course, no. This is what we need to understand. There's always choice. What will you choose to do? The gate is open. The door is open. What will you choose to do? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, heal this great nation of Australia. Heal, Lord God, the nations of the world that are struggling in this time. Lord, we pray, we ask you, Lord God, heal our land. Lord, we humble ourselves before you today, and we will continue to humble ourselves. We will come together with our people, your people, Lord God. We're going to come to people, with your people. We're going to lift up our voices, and we are going to pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I know you're saying it out there together. We say it, Lord. Amen and amen. You will not be intimidated in the midst of faith-filled prayer. That is the truth. You know it as well as I do. Well, you will not be intimidated. When brothers and sisters unite their faith together and we begin to pray, lift up a mighty cry before our God, how many of you know it stirs something on the inside? The spirit of intimidation will be broken over your life when you gather together with your brothers and sisters and pray. Thirdly, what's the third thing they do? They did. I love it. Here we go. So the first thing they did is they found their people, their own people. Secondly, they spoke about where things are at. They began to pray. And then as they pray, the third thing, they spoke the word of God boldly. They spoke the word of God boldly. So through this time of isolation, let's just be honest now. We can be honest. We can afford to be honest. We're family and we're real. We're authentic. That's what we hear all the time about in Joy Church. Man, your church is incredible. It is authentic. We are authentic. There's no point in not being authentic. Let it be as it is, and then we can actually speak into what we need to speak into. Is it true or is it not true that many of us in this season have lost our desire and our passion to speak out the word of God? Now, I say that simply because isolation by nature breaks things down. When you're isolated, relationship begins to break down. It's just a reality. There are so many things that begin to break down because of isolation. So through this time of isolation, many of us have lost our desire and our passion to speak out the word of God boldly. Now hear me what I'm about to say here. When I speak about speaking out the word of God boldly, I'm not necessarily talking about putting your soapbox out the front of your house and beginning to preach to your neighbors, because I think sometimes that's where we go to immediately. But you know, before I speak to my neighbors, you know who I need to speak to? Myself, that's right. Before I speak the word of God boldly to my neighbors, I need to speak the word of God boldly to myself. To me, myself, and Irene, if you know what I mean. I can't go out there until it goes in here. When I begin to declare the word of God, there's no point me declaring it over my back fence if it's not a reality in my house. I need to begin to speak the word of God afresh over my life, over my wife, over my children, over my family, over my church, over my finances, over my health, over whatever the case is. Friends, I want to encourage you today to begin to speak the word of God boldly over your situation. Don't retreat. Don't step back. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31 here, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Friends, I want to encourage you today. Giants may be giants. There's no doubt about that. And they may be intimidating. There's no doubt about that. But the word of God is our offensive weapon, and we swing it when we open our mouth and begin to declare the word of God. God has given you a sword for a purpose. God has given you his word for a purpose. And it's not so that you can beat people with it. And wouldn't it be good if you could beat the enemy with it? But you can't beat him with it. But what you can do is bring the word of God into your heart and then rise up in faith and begin to speak it. This is why it's so important in this season. Upon being released, upon being able to step out from our homes, we need to know where to go to. We need to run to our people. We need to find our people. Upon finding our people, we need to talk about where we're at, and then we need to lift our voices in prayer together. And in doing that, I promise you, what's going to happen? The spirit of boldness is going to come upon you. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you afresh. And in that space, you're going to be equipped to begin to speak the word of God with boldness and passion and declaration, and prophetically begin to speak into all the situations that are in and around your life. I don't know about you, but you can tell I'm excited. Why? Because I know as I begin to speak into in and over my life and in and over my wife and in and over my children and in and over our church together, we are going to see a move of God. God will move on the back of your words. That's why he's given you his word, that his words might become your word. And as you declare them, you're going to prophesy into the future what he has always had planned for your destiny. And I tell you the truth, it is all before you. Just begin to speak it out now. Find your people, lift up your voice in prayer, and then begin to speak the word boldly and watch what God will do for you. You'll not be intimidated when you're standing with your own people, lifting up your voice in prayer, and boldly speaking faith-filled words. You will not be intimidated. This is a day intimidation needs to be defeated. This is a day that intimidation needs to be broken into your life. Friends, I want to encourage you today. These three areas: find your people, lift up your voice in prayer, and speak the word of God boldly, and you watch what God is about to do in your life. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for us. I'm still seeing God moving by his spirit all over the life of Enjoy Church. We are stepping into areas, we're stepping into realms, we're stepping into nations that we've never been before. But I got to tell you, as we're in lockdown, we're still doing so much. Why? Because a spirit of boldness is upon us. The spirit of boldness wants to come upon you today. If you've been feeling intimidated, I want to pray a very special prayer just for you. And I want to encourage you, step out now. It's time to be stepping out. I want to encourage you to step out of your comfort zone. Step out of your slumber. Step out of your apathy. Step out of everything that is trying to hold you down and intimidate you to say, no, don't come out. No, come out now. It's time to come out. Step out. Get back into fellowship, get back into prayer, get back into speaking the word of God, and you watch what God is about to release in and through your life in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen, amen. All right, I want to pray now. I want to pray for two groups of people. Here we go. The first group of people that I want to pray for are the people that need to give your life to Christ. If you want to see the spirit of intimidation broken over your life, you need to have a relationship with Jesus. Friends, you are not born to live a life of fear. You are not born to live a life of under intimidation. You're not born to live a life where you're cowering all of your life. No, you are born to live a life in Christ that is a life to the full. You're born to walk in faith. You're born again that your head might be raised up, that your shoulders might go back, and you might lay hold of all of the life that God has got for you. Friends, I want to encourage you. Many of us have lived under the spirit of intimidation, but it was when Jesus came into our life that thing was broken off. I want to encourage you today, if you've never given your life to Christ, today is the day. Give your life to Jesus. The Bible tells us very clearly that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages for that sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The spirit of intimidation would say, don't go down this path. You shouldn't go down this path. You're not worthy to go down this path. But Jesus is saying, come follow me. Come follow me. I tell you the truth. Jesus got an incredible life for you, a glorious life for you. But you need to make a decision to give your life to Christ today. If you're watching on our online platform, on the bottom right-hand side there, you'll see a little raised hand. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, can I encourage you right here, right now, hit that raised hand. Just hit that raised hand, and it's going to be a sign to people, other people and other leaders that are watching on, that you want to give your life to Christ. We want to pray with you. We want to come alongside of you. We want to walk with you that you might become everything that Christ would desire you to become. And I promise you, that life is the best life that you could ever dream of. So if you want freedom and you want that spirit of intimidation to be broken off your life today, give your life to Jesus right here, right now. Hit that little raised hand. If you're on Facebook, on one of our platforms, on the Facebook platforms, can I encourage you, just write in the comment section now, I want to give my life to Jesus. Just do that. I want to give my life to Jesus. Someone's going to pick that up. They will pray with you. They'll connect with you. We're going to walk together. We're going to walk out of this place. We're stepping out into the life that God has got for us. But it begins with giving our life to Jesus. So if that's you, whether you be on the Enjoy online platform, hit that raised hand. If you're on Facebook, just write there, I want to give my life to Jesus right now. Just type that in there and we're going to pray together. So let's pray. Hopefully you've done that. Hit that hand, write it in there. I want to give my life to Jesus. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you today for bringing me to this place that I might give my life to you. Today, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sin and help me, Lord, to live a life that is pleasing and honoring of you. Today, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my all. And I believe from this day on, you are my Lord, my Savior, my God, and my friend. And from this day on, I'm your child and I'll never be alone again. In Jesus' name, I'll not be intimidated, but I'll live a free life in you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen and amen. Come on, let's give it up for all those people that would have raised their hand and made a commitment to Jesus right here, right now. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Friends, I want to encourage you today. Just start your journey. I want to encourage you. Connect with the people from Enjoy Church that will be reaching out to you. And we're going to see you become everything that you desire to become in Jesus' name. Now, I just want to pray as we conclude today for every Enjoyer, every location, everywhere. I want to pray that the Spirit of the living Lord would come upon you afresh today and any sense of intimidation would be broken off your life. Can I encourage you, Enjoyers? Because I know many of you have got maybe familiar or comfortable with your own space and your own time and your own company. Now is not the time to stay in the cell, but now is the time to step out in Jesus' name. Look at the wide open road that is before all of us and begin to step out into the glorious future that God has got for us. So I just want to speak a blessing over you. I want to pray for you and your family that together we might do the same things that Peter and John did. I want to pray that we would, one, step out and find our own people again. Two, that we would raise our voices in prayer. And three, that we would begin to speak the word of God boldly. So, Father, I pray for every Enjoyer everywhere. Lord, I declare in Jesus' name, the prison doors are open. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, the door is jar enough, Lord, that we might be able to step out into the glorious future you've got for us. We understand, Lord God, today it begins by uniting our hearts and our lives together for true fellowship, Lord God. Lord, we commit to that. Lord, we understand it begins, Lord God, as we come together and lift up our voices in prayer. We understand that and we're committed to that. And we understand, Lord God, we need to begin to declare the word of God. So I pray for every Enjoyer right now that we would have the courage and the faith every week to unite ourselves with the body of Christ. Every week to lift up our voice in prayer together. Every week to begin to speak the word of God boldly over our lives and our situations. Lord, even right now, Lord, what the enemy has meant for harm, I believe you will turn around for good in Jesus' name. So I speak life into every individual, life into every marriage, life into every family, life into every business, life into every bank account, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, you are faithful and true to your word. Lord, I speak life into the emotions of every Enjoyer. I speak life, Lord God, into the relationships. I speak life into their work scenarios. Lord, I declare, Lord God, we are a blessed people on the way in and we'll be even more blessed on the way out. And we're stepping out in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen and amen. So God bless you, church. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Hang on now. Don't go away because we've got Kid Mania coming on. If you've got your kids there, make sure you're good to go. Can I encourage you? This is a strange encouragement, I know. But before I sign out today, I want to encourage you because I know that we have life because of the blood of Jesus. I also understand this, that in Australia at the moment, there is a real challenge in regards to blood banks. Because people are living in fear, they don't want to be giving blood at the moment. But I want to encourage all of you, in this season, it's the blood of Jesus that set us free, but it's also our blood that can be a great blessing to others in need in our hospital systems at the moment. So if it's in your heart, I want to encourage you to step out in faith and give blood. Find out in your community where you can do that. It'll be a blessing to you, but you know what? It'll be a blessing to others that are in great need. God bless you lots today. Have a great day. I'll see you real soon. God bless and bye for now.